and thank you for being with us here on America Trends on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. I'm Amy Fuller. Our guest ahead, Senator Ted Harvey, former state senator from Colorado, who is now the head of the Committee to Defend the President, going to talk about a lot of the political headlines of the day, including the Mueller report, the redacted document supposed to come out Thursday, the state of the Democrats' race, AOC admitting that she bungled the Green Deal rollout. So we'll chat about these things and more with Senator Harvey. Patricia Greenberg is a nutrition and health expert, and she's going to be in to talk about a few things to try to keep us all just, you know, living better lives. She's the fitness gourmet. She's the author of Scrumptious Sandwiches, Salads, and Snacks, and a new one called Eat Well, Live Well, Age Well. She's going to talk about appearance as we age and how to make the most out of it. So we look forward to having Patricia in. And Dr. John Huber of Mainstream Mental Health, he will chat about why we love to buy into conspiracy theories. And you know what, really, what's wrong with them anyway? Conspiracy theories are there sometimes because they're not always incorrect, they're not false. And we're gonna try to, he might be talking about the ones that are really, really out there. And also, he's got a new study out of England about how many arguments parents have with their children. And try to guess right now about how many arguments you have with your children each year, and we will fill you in on what the statistics actually say in a few minutes with Dr. Huber. So stay tuned for that, and we're so glad you're with us here on America Trends. Trending in the news, of course, over to Paris and the beloved Notre Dame. There are a few things salvaged from the world-famous cathedral. Fire did break out around 6 p.m. their time Monday. 800-year-old Gothic cathedral, pictures like this unimaginable where renovations were going on. Authorities today are saying the building is structurally sound. They're not sure of the cause, but they now have 50 investigators who have started their work, interviewing workmen who had left the site but had been working on the restoration of the cathedral not long before the whole thing broke out. 16 copper statues, which were removed for restoration, they survived. And in a stroke of luck, three framed stained glass rose windows are okay as well. And another treasure, a relic of the crown of thorns, said to have been worn by Jesus during the crucifixion, was saved, but the status of other items unclear. Art historian Elizabeth Lev spoke about the historic art losses with PBS.
Now, to be perfectly honest, the situation with Notre Dame is interesting because a great deal of the art was damaged during the French Revolution, and more was damaged in the 19th century, about 1870. So that church has actually been bereft of its art on many occasions, but it still has some really splendid pieces. So, for example, some might find that the choir, which is an incredibly carved structure, it's a U-shaped structure, it's carved with these 14th century stories of the life of Jesus. They're painted. Mm-hmm. They're beautiful. Or you have the 17th century magnificent statue by Niccolò Cousteau, this Pietà, this sort of even grander, bigger Pietà with two kneeling sovereigns, sort of reminiscent of Michelangelo's in Rome. But I think for the Catholic world and for the church itself, especially in this week leading up to Easter, the greatest loss of that church would have been the loss of the crown of thorns. The thorns that crowned Jesus' head during his passion, purchased by St. Louis IX in the 13th century, lovingly cared for, preserved during the French Revolution, and venerated by the faithful to this day in that cathedral. That would be a terrible loss.
Some of the revelations from the big fire at Notre Dame yesterday. And so the investigation continues, and we will keep you posted. Here stateside, the Mueller report, President Trump says he is not worried about the release of it, saying it will show the now closed Russia investigation was a total phony. Attorney General William Barr says it will be released Thursday and that all the redactions should be complete. The 400-page report on the investigation will provide details into what was uncovered during the 22-month special counsel investigation. More with Senator Harvey coming up here on America Trends. Welcome back to America Trends. Politics trending and all the things going on with the Mueller report. For so long, we didn't know when the probe would even be complete. Now it's done. We know some of the highlights and the tenets. And this Thursday, we're going to find out just what the reports say. And it's going to be, you know, they're taking time to redact certain things. So we're looking forward to all of Washington is a buzz. I'm not sure if the heartland cares about all this, but you also have headlines about White House officials. They're concerned about being exposed by the Mueller report. Going to talk about immigration, too, and 350 more illegals coming up from Central America, busting through Mexico, being violent on their way here, more and more caravans. And we speak of all this with our friend of the show, Senator Ted Harvey, former Colorado State Senator, now head of the Committee to Defend the President. And you can go there right now, see what they're doing, see if you'd like to support it, and maybe hit some of those support and donate buttons. And welcome back, Senator Ted.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
So glad to have you. So what are some of the biggest things that when you have to do a full frontal assault on the people coming toward the president, what are those about? His taxes, where he doesn't want to release them yet, and is it really anybody's business?
Well, certainly the taxes aren't anybody's business. The American people already voted on this issue. The Democrats wanted to have his tax returns released. Many of his Republican opponents wanted his tax returns released. And the American people said, we don't care. We don't want the federal government going through our tax returns any more than we want them going through the Donald Trump's tax returns. So I think that the president has the American people on his side on this issue. And I think the American people are sick and tired of the Democrats and the government trying to go after Donald Trump. And what they saw with the Mueller report was, or investigation, was 2.5 years of truly a witch hunt, as the president has been calling it all these years. 17 very partisan Democrat Hillary supporting attorneys. They gave her money. They work for the Clinton Foundation. They were at her celebration party, the election, if you want to call it a celebration party. And then they were placed on the investigation panel with Mueller to investigate this collusion. It was only because Strzok's text messages got revealed was the only reason why he was fired. They proved that he was biased. We don't have any text messages from the other biased attorneys that were on that panel. So I think now that the Mueller report has been finalized and Trump has been proven to be innocent of any collusion and of any obstruction of justice, I think the American people are like, get over this. The election is done. The president's been exonerated. Let's move on to make America great again. But the Democrats they can't help themselves.
That's what you wonder, because there's that old adage, give me the man, I'll find you the crime, or however it goes. And sure enough, for 22 months, they looked into Trump and his surrounding people and his campaign to see, did he collude? They were looking for something, and they were looking very studiously, and they found nothing. So this 400-page report, which, Ted, I got to tell you, I didn't even know if this would be complete by the time Barron Trump ran for office 3 decades from now. Are you surprised it's finally over?
Well, I think what made the difference was that Attorney General Barr got appointed, and he said, if you don't have any evidence after 2.5 years, put up or shut up. And the Mueller investigation works for the Justice Department. And I think Barr said, you guys have to come forward and give us what you have. You can't continue on this witch hunt, which they're indicting Monifer, who had issues 12.5 years ago with his tax returns and not disclosing that he had worked for a foreign government as a lobbyist. That's all they've got. And that's what they indicted him on. They indicted
Roger Stone.
General Flynn.
Oh, sure.
On the fact that he lied to the FBI when he didn't even realize that he was being interrogated. And then they went after Roger Stone. We still don't know what Roger Stone is being indicted for. So I think it was great that Barr finally got to a position where he could put an end to this fiasco. And I think it will be interesting to see on Thursday when the report is fully given to the American people for them to be able to see after 2.5 years, 17 partisan attorneys doing everything they could to go through every little detail of the president and his family and all of his employees, that what exactly are they able to bring forward to try to throw mud at the president, even though they could not bring forward anything on collusion with the Russians and obstruction of justice. I do think that they will be putting in the report things to try to muddy the waters for the president and his family.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, sometimes I like to recap because, Ted, I don't know if you agree, but I think, you know, people like you and me and the breathless media and the Washington Beltway insiders, they're paying attention to every detail. But normal Americans, can they? And are they bored by it? And then I also think about young people tuning in and trying to figure out, well, what is this Mueller report? And what is it? So I just want to go over, again, this is a 400-page report on the Russia investigation where they were to provide details into what was uncovered during the 22-month special counsel investigation by Robert Mueller, trying to find collusion between Donald Trump's team and Russia. Did they collude? Is Donald Trump a bad guy who's working with or for the Russians?
An agent of Russia.
Exactly. And so last month, Barr released a 4-page summary of the report when Mueller finally ended it and stated that Mueller's investigation did not establish a criminal conspiracy. And Trump said today that, you know, I heard there was no crime, there was no anything, they're not going to find anything. So just a bit of recap of that. And now it looks like they might be investigating the investigators, and maybe that is a good thing.
Well, it is a spectacular thing, and I find it bizarre that the media and the Democrats and Clapper and Comey would be freaking out because Barr said that they were spying on Trump. What do you think you go to the FISA court for with three subpoenas over the course of the 18 months that the Russia investigation was going on by the FBI? You only go to the FISA court so you can spy on American citizens. That's what they were doing. They were admitting they spied on them. But then if the AG says they were spying on them, then, you know, it's blasphemy. How can that be said? I don't understand what Comey's argument is. He says he doesn't realize that listening in on their phone conversation is spying. If that's not spying, what is the definition of spying? He's got a lot of explaining to do, and I think he's going to have a lot of explaining to do with the Inspector General.
It just makes every American want to take your breath and say, what is going on? You're right, Senator Harvey. We're going to come right back, talk more about this and illegal immigration and more people, tens of thousands coming to our border, busting in. We're back with the Committee to Defend the President after this. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun. Talking to Senator Ted Harvey out of Colorado, where he was a former state senator and now the head of the Committee to Defend the President, which started as an anti-Hillary pact, didn't it, Ted? And are we pretty sure she's not going to enter the 2020 race at this point?
I would put nothing past Hillary Clinton.
You know, that's true. Now, I say it even
sounds stupid.
Or
her supporters. I mean, the fact that her supporters would still support her after everything that's happening. Going back real quick to the investigations that are going on, I think that there are going to be a lot of people, including Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and President Obama, that are going to have a lot of explaining to do for the spying that did take place on the Trump campaign and the Trump administration.
Yeah, the Mueller report, now investigating the investigators, which is always very rich. Do you think anything will come of it? For decades, we've had nothing stick to the Clintons ever. Can it ever now?
Well, let us not forget that one of Obama's attorneys was indicted last week for the same thing that Manafort was indicted for, about lobbying for a foreign entity, again, the Ukrainians, that nobody is talking about. Why is it that all of these Ukrainian associations go back to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and now we have an indictment because of it?
Yeah, is it me, or did that indictment not get much traction in the mainstream media, Ted?
Wasn't that interesting? When Manafort's indictment that goes back 12 and a half years, he gets charged for, when General Flynn gets indicted for just simply saying something out of line to the FBI. And Cohen, his attorney, gets indicted for something that goes back 10 years. Why is it now that when it's Obama's people that are getting indicted, there is no conversation?
Sure, sure. Big one there. All right. So after Manafort, we're going to talk about right now this immigration battle at our border. And it seems like we speak of it every day, Ted, but the thing is, it's a tragedy. It's a humanitarian crisis.
It is.
There's nothing much being done. I think people were excited that President Trump was speaking of closing the border imminently. Then he said, no, I'm going to give Mexico a year to get their stuff together and stop people from coming. But this headline from Friday, and this isn't just one small agency, news all over reporting that migrants did, in fact, break a border gate violently at Guatemala. 350 strong forcing their way into Mexico, overwhelming them. And sure enough, they're going to be heading up here. And they broke the locks, forced their way in. I don't know how many people they had planted on, you know, how many authorities they had planted on that border gate, but now they're on their way here. And this is just one of, they say, a couple that might total 20,000 heading up next. They're all trying to get in before Trump gets all his laws in order. I also wanted to ask you, the Ninth Circuit in California denied President Trump's ask for asylum, that people who were coming here would have to wait in Mexico to have their asylum hearings met and done. And the Ninth Circuit said no. Then President Trump's administration said, yes, please, and here's why. And then they said, okay. And was that because he threatened to send them to sanctuary cities?
Well, it was one judge that put a hold on it, and then a three-judge panel within the Ninth Circuit, I believe, overruled that and said that they will remove the injunction as the case continues to go forward. So the administration is now moving quickly to implement that policy, to say that we are not going to allow immigrants to come into the United States while they are seeking asylum. They will have to do it while in Mexico or in Guatemala or El Salvador or anywhere else where they're coming from. That it makes sense. That the president is doing it that way. That is the way most countries do it, that if you want to seek asylum in their country, that you have to stay in your country of origin before you come forward. The fact that a liberal judge in the Ninth Circuit is every single time holding up the administration from implementing sound immigration policies is ridiculous. And every time they do that, if it goes to the Supreme Court, they get spanked down.
Yeah.
And even the liberals on the Supreme Court tend to support the president on this because it is a national emergency. It is a crisis down on the border. It is a humanitarian crisis. It is a legal crisis. And the fact that the Ninth Circuit is doing nothing but being obstructionist is out of control. And I love the fact that the president has now appointed enough conservatives to the court that they are getting close to having 50% of, not a majority, but close to a 50% plurality on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Indeed, and you're right. So that was one judge that said no, and we profiled him a few days back, but then the Trump administration said, here's why, and then a three panel justice.
I think that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're right, because the Supreme Court, they do spank them and say, you're overstepping your bounds right here.
Over and over again, they do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're constantly showing that they are more interested in setting policy than they are in actually following the law that the Congress has written and following the Constitution. Another thing that I thought was great that happened last week was when the president told his newly incoming HSS, what's the head of the department that runs the Homeland Security?
Homeland Security Secretary, now that Kirsten Nielsen will be leaving.
He said, close down the borders, and if you do and it's against the law, I'll pardon you. You know, that was literally, nobody ever can verify if the president said that. It was totally thrown out there. And it's the President Trump totally trolling the media. There is nobody ever better at trolling the media, trolling CNN, trolling MSN than Donald Trump. I did a lot of traveling this weekend, and I was in hotel rooms all weekend long and watching CNN, and their heads were literally exploding over this issue. And it is so funny to watch the media lose control over every word that the president says. But even though that's not what the policy is, that's not what's moving forward, the president is forcing them to continually pander to their limited and shrinking audience as the American people are rallying to the president. If you saw the polls last week, the Rasmussen polls showed that he had 53%. The American people support the president on immigration and border control, and the left is freaking out. And CNN and MSN over the weekend were manifesting right before the American people.
They are apoplectic because the Mueller report failed to find anything indicting Trump. And, you know, they had these almost funereal scenes. And I don't know whether they were trying to use Common Core math to add up and say, well, maybe here's how it could be, even though they didn't find it, and on and on. But I think you can say without hyperbole that it is nothing short of an invasion when you have 100,000 people plus. Storming our border, and that's just who we apprehended. And they're saying they get only one of three. So if you times that and make it over 300,000, and you do have CNN finally saying, you know what, this may be a problem at our border. This may be an actual real problem here.
It is crazy. And it's not, you know, just, you know, poor souls that are looking for opportunities for their families and for themselves. And honestly, I would be doing the same thing if I were in their situation. But it is drug dealers, it's human traffickers, all kinds of criminal elements are coming up with those organizations, with those caravans. But also it's people from all over the world now who realize that they don't have to go through the normal immigration policies. They can fly to Mexico and come through the borders with these caravans. Last week it was announced that over the previous week they had captured people from 50 different countries that came across our borders. If that's not an invasion, I don't know what is, and we need to build a border wall to stop it.
And some of them are the worst of the worst. We didn't get to AOC admitting that she bungled the Green Deal rollout, but there it is anyway. Senator Ted, we will go to your website to support you, the Committee to Defend the President. Thank you for what you're doing, and we'll have you keep us posted next time, okay?
That's great. Thank you.
God bless. See you then. Spoke about the Mueller probe last segment. 22 months, some people say it's just a big conspiracy theory, but they say that about so many things. How much credence should we put in such theories? Because if they catch, you know, this wave, maybe there's a reason for it. Back in the day, we had this talk about President Barack Obama not being born here, and there were the birthers who had their own conspiracy theories. Our friend Dr. John Huber of Mainstream Mental Health is looking at this. Why do people believe in conspiracy theories? And a study does point to personality. Also, we are talking this segment about not fair. Parents have, well, how many arguments do you think they have with their children every year? Let's just let that breathe for a minute and welcome Dr. John Huber of Mainstream Mental Health. How are you doing, Doc?
I'm amazing, Amy. How are you?
I know you are, and I'm so glad, and thank you for being with us. So this study, and it is out of Britain, but, you know, they could mirror what we do. 2,184 arguments a year with our kids. You know, some people might say that sounds low.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I'm glad they use British kids because the number would be so high for American kids, I think.
Why? Are they more spoiled, Doc, or what? Do we have more helicopter parents and snowplow parents here?
I don't know. It just feels like it. I mean, I'm a parent of two kids, and it's like they plan every day to, you know, hey, we're having, you know, steak and mashed potatoes. Well, I wanted chicken. Well, I wanted French fries. It's always something. And that seems to be one of the biggest things that they argue about, too, is what they want to eat. And that makes a lot of sense if you have kids. You know, they're picky, and they don't always go along with the rest of the family. And in fact, I think a lot of times my kids create problems because they don't want the other one to get their way, even if they really wanted steak anyhow.
So funny how things have changed. You go back to our childhood and maybe a generation or two before that, the Great Depression. You were just glad to have anything mixed with rice or any kind of gruel just to get in your gullet, right? So
exactly.
These numbers, though, it's a survey of 2,000 British adults with kids between the ages of 2 and 12. And they say they do have this average of 2,184 arguments a year with their children. Broken down, it translates into 182 spats a month. Now, that does sound a little big. 42 a week or six a day. Do you really want to argue six times a day with your kid? And I'm sorry, back in my day, my parents would not have stood for it. The survey also indicated the average spat or fight lasted about 8 minutes. Now, you have been in the business for a few decades. Did these numbers surprise you at all?
Actually, they don't surprise me at all. You know, I agree with you. In my day, you know, we got food two ways, take it or leave it. And, you know, if we were hungry, we ate. If we weren't, well, we left it. But I ate a lot more than I left, that's for sure. I mean.
Well, we had to get it when we can, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. But I also understand, you know, I mean, as we look at kids, one of the things their ultimate goal is to have the umbilical cord cut. In other words, their goal is to be independent and move away from mom and dad. Ultimately, even if it's next door, that's still moving away. So they have to establish some sort of sense of independence. And this arguing, you know, I think the arguments have changed a little bit, but the fact that we disagreed with our parents is not uncommon, and I think it's carried on from one generation to the next. And, you know, we have to assert our independence at some point, and we practice that by arguing over things that aren't important until we get to a point where we're good at discussing things and disagreeing with our parents and taking those steps out. And then about the time we turn 30, our parents get smart again, and we go, man, maybe my kids or my parents weren't wrong when they asked me to do different things. And that's kind of a normal situation, unfortunately, and fortunately, because that's how life works. We step up, we move out, we have our own family, and then we sit back and think how wise our parents were, and we didn't even know it.
All of a sudden at 25 or 30, it strikes us. Our parents were wise.
Exactly.
So some of these things, again, you talk about eating, activities, also the kids wanting unhealthy things, unclean bedrooms, you know, trying to probably teach kids good habits. And we could talk about all that for days, but what really should the parents do in our short amount of time we have here, Doc? What can the parents do to sort of, I don't know, are parents scared to be the bad guy? What can they do to stop these spats and have just more edifying time rather than, you know, 8 minute spats for 50 minutes every single day?
Absolutely. Parents are afraid of being the bad guy. You know, kids are taught today, you know, hey, call Child Protective Services, you know, 911 at any time you feel like you're being threatened or harmed by your parents. And, you know, and I talk to these people, and a lot of times they get calls that are frivolous. A lot of times they're real. But what parents need to do is try to learn to find ways to empower your child to make decisions. For example, instead of arguing over, you know, when they need to be going to bed, go get two or three sets of pajamas out, put the red ones, the green ones, and the blue ones, and say, hey, what color pajamas are you wearing tonight? And leave the rest up to them. Let them choose. Teach them to make appropriate choices and make decisions in a healthy way, as opposed to having to argue and learn that way.
Okay, any last words of wisdom to the parents so they're not so worried about being the bad guy?
Not so worried about being the bad guy. You know, don't be afraid to stand on your decisions, but remember your kids are going to separate and they're going to be their own independent person. So make sure you're always doing it with that touch of love in the background, because that's going to show up and your kids will remember that.
Okay. Why do people believe in conspiracy theories? A new report shows, a new study, that it has to do everything with our personality, Doctor. And this is just some conspiracy theories, or is it just, I mean, some of them are really, really out there. Other ones are just, you know, they seemed like conspiracy theories back in the day. People might talk about the assassination of JFK. Now, many people take it for granted that there were others besides just Lee Harvey Oswald that might have been responsible. I don't know. It's just what I read on the internet, Doc.
Exactly. Well, you know what happens is that people don't want to believe that our government can be so crazy as to do something that stupid, or the police department can't be serious that they really think this happened or that happened. We sit back and we think the theories that or the beliefs that they're telling us can't be real. For example, just recently, you know, half the country is up in arms. There's no way our president didn't collude with Russia. And the fact is, you know, there's a couple of things you have to look at. One of them is, the media really loves to try and go after our president, and typically, usually any sitting president they like to go after. It's one of the beauties of freedom of speech. But in this case, they're trying to undermine, take some power away. And if you can collude or get him hooked up with Russia, you know, it's not a bad thing to collude, because it's actually not against the law. But the collusion itself, so even if they found him guilty of collusion, they weren't even sure what could happen with that. But it got the whole country rallied. It got them behind the media. They were watching the news every night for collusion stories. I read somewhere where there was something daily, something like 4,600 mentions of President Trump's name because of these collusion stories over the past 2 years. And that got media attention. That got people watching the news. So the media loved to tell that story. And now they love to tell the story, well, you know, the level of scrutiny was not right. And, you know, I sit back and think, you know, wait a minute, you know, didn't we give away, you know, over half or 40% of our uranium to Russia? And wasn't the person who did that one of the other presidential candidates and didn't get congressional approval for it, just signed it over? So we want to talk collusion. We really need to look at the whole thing.
Yeah, and it is, you know, you talk about personality traits and also what side of the spectrum, what side of the aisle you're on. And there's always going to be, you know, I mean, I've seen enough movies to know it can happen. I mean, you see it in the movies, so it's right, Doc? You can
Absolutely.
Go to mainstreammentalhealth.org to support you. Thank you for everything you're doing, and we'll look forward to seeing you again. Dr. John Huber.
Thank you so much.
We love to do all we can to try to keep fit and healthy and share anything we have that comes down the pike with you here on America Trends. And we are so glad for that reason that we have our friend, the Fitness Gourmet, that is thefitnessgourmet.com, back with us. And she's got this. We've shared this with you before. She is the author of Scrumptious Sandwiches, Salads, and Snacks. And not only that, from her website, which you just saw, she's got this new book out. Eat Well, Live Well, Age Well. And don't we all want to do that? Patricia Greenberg, welcome back to America Trends. Thank you for being here with us. So this has to be exciting. Now, can I order this right now, or do I need to pre-order it?
No, we're not taking pre-orders yet. It will be out in June of 2019, so we just have a few more.
So soon.
Yeah, it's very soon. Yeah.
It's really exciting to get a book done. It's like putting together a baby. I know it's not that
easy. It takes a couple years, and but it's all about, it's Eat Well, Live Well, Age Well, in the way that we're already doing it, not to be told you need to lose a ton of weight, you have to stop eating from a certain category of food right now.
You have to run a marathon every
day.
Exactly. Or else you're just behind.
And that's really what I want to focus in on today, is that fitness is any sort of movement that you can do to keep yourself somewhat supple and agile as you're living and as you're aging.
Day by day, we can do even a little bit.
Yeah.
And so you say there are things we can do just at home.
Yes, absolutely.
To keep ourselves fit and limber.
Yeah.
You know, you hear people pulling out their back just from brushing their teeth as we age, and you realize that we really should stretch every day if we really want, even if it's just a little bit, right?
Yeah, and I have right here, I can teach you some things right here on the couch, and I brought a few props from home to show you. And do you mind if I start right here on the couch?
I think we should do it. Yeah.
All right. So the first thing I want to point out is that when we get up in the morning, don't be afraid if you're stiff. That's very common even from a young age. Sometimes
that's
you're just
so good to know.
Yeah, yeah, but we're so frightened by, I have a whole list in the new book of things not to be frightened by as you age, and aches and pains and little things that happen to the body. So the first thing that we want to do is stand up when you get up in the morning and straighten yourself out. And one thing I'm learning from having PT and the different things that I'm doing to take care of myself, having physical therapy, is to keep your pelvis forward. And the first thing you want to do is just lean down and touch your toes. Now, if you can't reach all the way down to the floor, that's okay. If you can only get here, or you just can bend over and dangle your arms, it's just a wonderful thing to do to get yourself moving in the morning.
This is grade school stuff that we should just
remember. When we were kids, we just bent over and picked something up and bend down to tie your shoes. And now I see a lot of people getting up and going, ugh.
Now, is it a slow roll up when you come back up so you're not alarming anything?
Yes, it's a very good point. So
I
say you touch as far as you can. I try to do just one every day when I get out of bed in the morning. And then sit down and try to keep your posture in mind. Remember, your core is essential. Now we're moving on. Let's say you're having breakfast and you're sitting at the table.
Okay.
One thing people are struggling with, I'm seeing at a very young age, because of time constraints, family stress, they're not able to get up that easily. Even I'm seeing it younger and younger people where they have to hold on to the couch or the table and really push themselves up. I'm going to show you a technique that will last you until you're 100. God willing, you'll all
I'm
live that long.
I'm eager to hear this because okay. We hear so many times about don't use your back,
exactly.
Use your knees for so many things. So I'm eager to see how we can
sit
do this
up,
just from sitting.
Hips forward, back up, feet straight, knees straight. Keep your knees out. Hinge your body forward and stand up with your hips forward on your knees. Stand up straight. Do the same thing back down. Hinge back down, bend your knees, and come down. Instead of convoluting your body and potentially hurting yourselves, again, lean forward, stand up, lean forward, sit down, and come down.
You know, if we make that a habit every day, every time we get up, because they talk so much about sitting is the new heart attack.
That's
sitting's
correct.
The new, you know, you're not, you can work out all you want, but if you sit for all these hours a day, it's right. really going to break right. you. And so if we really get used to that, it can go a long way, I think, into helping.
And the critical part is you want to keep three components to keep in mind.
Okay.
You want to keep your legs strong. You want to keep your core strong and, of course, your upper body for lifting and stretching.
Okay.
You want to keep that body limber so down the road you can still reach up and get the food out of the top cabinet. You want your legs strong so you want to be able to bend down and pick up a package. Most importantly, you want to enjoy your family. Mm-hmm. You want to play with your children, your grandchildren. You want to be able to move. Movement is fitness. Getting up and going for a walk, stretching a little in the morning, going out with your friends. Now, instead of going out to dinner and being worried about every morsel that you eat, everything that you have, every sip of alcohol, every grain of salt, go out and enjoy it. Be mindful about moderation. But the same with fitness, the same with just living well in general. I'm now having a battle with the term beach body because it's a very commonly used term.
We always hear it around this
right,
time.
Yeah,
here.
Of course.
I do hate it.
Get your beach body, get your body ready for the beach, bikini season. If you have a body and you're going to the beach, that's a beach body. If you want to wear a bikini and you love the way you look, no matter what age, size, or place you're at in your life, do it. Yeah. So all these things will help. The next thing I want to mention is that while you're sitting at the table or at your couch, take a pillow, put it between your knees, just do some knee squeezes. And that'll tighten your hips, tighten your quads, and keep your legs strong.
So when we Netflix and chill, we can actually be doing a little bit for
us. Excellent point. When you're sitting and watching TV, even with a glass of wine, it won't hurt you.
Oh, I
and
like you, Patricia.
And just try to do a few squeezes. Again, one set of these every day. I have these little props. I like to work with stretch bands when you're sitting.
We've got 2 minutes, so go ahead with the props. Yeah.
So we can stretch here. We can stretch overhead, stretch behind our back. Very, very effective. The other thing is, if you don't have these props at home, take an orange or an apple, okay?
Well, cans of
put
soup,
it, cans
right?
of soup, I and sometimes. I also have bottles of water. And I don't want to obstruct you. We'll put our arms out, put one arm up with the orange, come up with the other, switch hands with the orange, come down, come up, switch hands with the orange. You can do your triceps. You can put it on your lap and do some bicep curls. And this little bit of weight makes all the difference in the world because you're just giving your body that time to do the movement. And it's the movement that counts more than anything else.
Sure. And you can start with that and go something a little heavier,
exactly.
like a can
just
or
keep
a bigger
moving
can
up.
Of
yep.
soup.
And here's the other one that I like. You know, if you have a couple of bottle waters or if you're walking, you can do a little curl with this. You can hold them together, again, up and over. The other thing, I don't want people to be afraid. I can't get to the gym or it's so expensive or you're watching me. I'm a marathon runner. I understand what it takes to get to that finish line and have a goal. There should be no finish line anymore. It should just be for fun. If you don't have any equipment, pick up a dish towel in your kitchen. Again, same thing. You want to stretch. You want to work your back. You want to work your sides. That's with more limited mobility. It's very effective.
So good. Yeah. Thank you for bringing all these props and taking care. I think people should rewind and watch over and over again as we stream so they can get used to it and make it a habit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it can go so far.
A little
far.
Tiny bit makes a big difference.
For
absolutely.
Sure. And what's your website, Patricia?
Yeah. It's www.thefitnessgourmet.com. And for the new book, it's eatwelllivewellagewell.com.
Well said. And then scrumptious sandwiches, salads, and snacks for all your nutritional needs.
Yes.
Thank you. Come back and see us again soon,
I will.
Okay?
Thank you.
You
Thank
bet.
Thank you, Amy.
Patricia,
you take care.
The
okay.
Fitness Gourmet. And we're back after this. Can you go play the piano? Singing. Best pet viral video musical around the web for our YouTube America TV audience, and you are listening on Biz Talk Radio. We say thank you, and you can find us 24/7 on all of our websites, and we say thanks to our guest, the fitness gourmet Patricia Greenberg, also Dr. John Huber of Mainstream Mental Health, and Senator Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President. So you can go to all their websites, check them out, be friends with them, and then find us on our websites, click through, and we'll all be friends on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Look for us. The name is America Trends, or you can look up my moniker, and we can all connect and like each other as we are supposed to do on social media. Finally tonight, look at this. This is trending. The new trailer for Avengers Endgame, Final Battle, well, it dropped today, and it stars all kinds of well-known names. Brie Larson, Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, Don Cheadle, Mark Ruffalo, Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, Bradley Cooper, and Paul Rudd. And we do have your very first look at it as we say goodbye for now and enjoy.
Heroes. It's an old-fashioned notion. A visionary, a genius, ensuring freedom around the globe.
A symbol to the nation, a hero to the world.
The beacon of hope, shining out across the stars.
I look around at us, you know what I see?
A bunch of a-holes.
Possibility. You think you know how the world works?
The world is changing.
We need heroes.
Strength invites challenge. Challenge incites conflict. Conflict breeds catastrophe. The thing isn't beautiful because it lasts.
Before we're done, we still have one promise to keep. If you can't protect the Earth, you can be damn sure we'll avenge it. Whatever it takes.